Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been reading a book called Timeline by Michael Crichton. I think he also wrote Jurassic Park. You might imagine by the title, it's all about time travel, although one of the main characters explains in the book that time travel is not possible. That's kind of an old and outdated concept. You can't travel through time. However, through technology and quantum physics, we can reduce you here down to nothing and then make you appear in the multiverse there in another time. Now, this is fiction, not fact, but it got me thinking. Sounds good. If you had a time machine and could go back in time to see one event from the Bible, just one, what would you see? Now, you might have some choices you'd have to make. Do I choose something from the Old Testament or something from the New? Do I choose something from the life of Jesus or from the life of Moses or the life of Elijah? Tough decisions. But there's some good news. There is really one event that you could choose where you could have it all. Old Testament and New Testament. Life of Jesus, life of Moses, life of Elijah. And that's the text we heard today. Matthew 17, the transfiguration of Jesus. Or we heard Peter say, "How good, Lord, to be here." You can imagine why. Now, I've had some good endorphins as I've gone up mountains before and looked out at the panoramic view and said, "Wow, this is great." But that must pale in comparison to what Peter, James, and John saw that day on the mountain. "How good, Lord, to be here," he says. Coupled by what they not just saw, but what they heard and experienced there on the mountain. They saw Jesus transfigured. That means his face shone like the sun, as it describes in the Bible, and his clothes became bright as light. So sunny face, white clothes, bright as light. And also there appeared with him two other time travelers, right? They weren't there, contemporaries of Jesus. They were a long time ago, 1,400 years before Jesus was Moses. 700 or so years before Jesus was Elijah. And there they appeared. They didn't come up the mountain with them. They appeared on the mountain and the top with Jesus, talking with him. And a voice and a cloud overshadowed them. And it's a voice came out of the cloud and says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Something similar we heard at Jesus' baptism, except one little change, right? Peter, James, and John were not there at the baptism. They couldn't have heard what was said from God's voice at the baptism because they were not yet called to be disciples. But there on the mountain, they heard it. God says from his own voice, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And they fell down as though terrified. Peter was the Bob McDermott of the Praise Lutheran Property Committee. You get, Bob McDermott is our property chairman, right? Why? Because what did he say? He says, "I want to build, if you wish, Lord, three tents. One for you, Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But Peter's proposal was an error. Not because he forgot to check with the property assessor's office, and not because he forgot to go to the voters' assembly, although we have one of those today. You could do that, Bob. But for a different reason. He was suggesting, proposing that there was equal glory for Jesus and for Moses and for Elijah. And that's not true, is it? We should distinguish these folks, these wonderful people of old. Moses already had a tent, didn't he? It was the tent of the Old Testament in the wilderness, 40 years. He dwelled in that tent. He went in and spoke to God in that tent. Now, God did not make that tent to honor Moses. God told Moses and the Levites and the people of Israel to build that tent to honor Yahweh's presence in their lives, leading and guiding them those 40 years in the wilderness. It wasn't for Moses' glory, although he was a servant, an intercessor, a prophet who spoke to God there. This was about God's presence in their lives. So Moses already had a tent. And what does the New Testament say? Marvelously, by the way, Jesus is the tent of the New Testament. Did you know that? He is the presence of God on earth. He is the tent not made with human hands, it says at one point. Another point, wonderful, John chapter 1, where it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You've heard that before. In the Greek, it's a little different. In the Greek, the word skeinade stretched out its tent among us. It has Old Testament tabernacle kind of language and a connotation that we miss in the English. The word skeinade and dwelt among us, was among us as a tent. He stretched out his tent. That's who Jesus is. He is the tent of the New Testament. You can't build the tent for him. He is the tent. All this to say that there is a difference in the honor due to Moses and Elijah and the honor due to Jesus. That's why the voice came out and almost offered a correction to Peter that says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. He didn't say, this is my two prophets here, Moses and Elijah. They knew that. What they needed to hear was, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. You listened to Moses and Elijah already. Now listen to Jesus. Moses and Elijah were two prophets. They paved the way. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Moses won't and can't die for your sins. He's not God's son appointed to do that. Jesus fulfills the prophecy. He fulfills the law. He fulfills all the prophets' words. The hope for the freedom of this world does not lie in Moses and Elijah. The hope for the freedom of the world lies only in one person, the Savior, Jesus. With nothing separating us, not even death itself can separate us from what God's presence will be like in our lives. No cloud, no sun, no scorching heat getting in the way, no mountain in the way, no sin in or covering us. We, like Moses saw at the burning bush, but better, will behold God face to face. The divine glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. No matter where or when you travel in time, if ever that possible, you will be confined to time and space. But like the hymn says that we like to sing, when you've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, you've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. The vision of Jesus transfigured on the mountain was a type, a wondrous type. A type of the vision that is to come for all of mankind, being represented by Peter, James, and John, to behold the divine glory of God with all the saints in heaven, all the 24 elders around the throne, 144,000, the complete number of heaven, all gathered around Jesus, who is God in human flesh, still having the marks of his scars from the cross, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. A vision, a type of what is to come, where we, you and I, behold God, Yahweh, Old Testament, New, face to face. You don't need a time machine. You need Jesus. And Jesus not only transfigures himself long ago, he transcends himself even now to live in time and space with you here. We have his living word. We have his crucified and living body and blood. And we have his spirit in baptism given to us as a pledge that he is with us always, even to the very end of the age. And in your baptism, you have all the gifts of his salvation, Audrey, and all of us. The whole triune God comes to dwell and be with you. How good, Lord, to be here. How good, Lord, that you are here. In closing, I'd like to read a hymn that the choir is just about to sing in just a couple of minutes. It's called, O Wondrous Type, O Vision Fair. O wondrous type, O vision fair, of glory that the church may share, which Christ upon the mountain shows, where brighter than the sun he glows. With Moses and Elijah nigh, the incarnate Lord holds converse high. And from the cloud, the Holy One bears record to the only Son. With shining face and bright array, Christ deigns to manifest today what glory shall be theirs above, who joy in God with perfect love. And faithful hearts are raised on high by this great vision's mystery, for which in joyful strains we raise the voice of prayer, the hymn of praise. O Father, with the eternal Son and Holy Spirit ever one, we pray thee, bring us by thy grace to see thy glory face to face. May the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.